Stradivari, Amati, Guarneri. These are some of the most famous violin makers ever. And now recent evidence has surfaced that some of their famous instruments may be too hot to touch. After reviewing recently declassified documents from World War II, a couple of reporters from the Chicago Tribune discovered that many of the world's top instruments were systematically looted by the Nazis. Howard Reich collaborated on this article, and he joins us from our Chicago bureau. Mr. Reich, welcome to the program.
Pleasure to be here.
So, who in Hitler's Germany was spending their time collecting precious violins?
A very special group called the Sonderstabmusik, or Special Task Force for Music. And this was a group of highly trained musicologists, most of them PhDs, from the nation of Germany, which in effect really invented the field of musicology. And they were summoned to sort through all the loot, all the musical loot, that the Nazis seized. And they categorically went through and raided every instrument that came through all the capitals of Europe, and A, if it were a great instrument, B, if it were not so great, C, if it were no distinction at all. And the best instruments, the great Stradivaris and Amatis and Guarneris, immediately would be shipped off to Berlin from the various points of Nazi conquest, such as Paris, Brussels, and Prague, and all across Europe.
Hitler himself may have been interested in these violins?
Hitler was very interested in musical culture specifically. His dream was to establish a Hochschule, or university, in Linz, Austria, his hometown, after the war. And this Hochschule would have the greatest examples and artifacts of Western culture, including great instruments. He insisted upon this specifically in some memos, that great instruments be there. That meant the Strads and the Amatis and so forth. And so the troops, specifically called the M-Action Team, the physical troops that went out to grab the instruments, followed those orders.
Howard Reich, I was surprised to learn how you and your colleague from the Chicago Tribune, William Gaines, found out about at least some of the fate of these violins by looking in the National Archives in the United States?
There are so many documents in the National Archives, literally tens of thousands of rolls of film of captured German documents, actually going back to World War I and before. And the difficulty of the task is finding material amid all that material. No one could live long enough to see it all. But William Gaines, my partner, sifted through this material, and he found one thing that had never been found until now, and that is an inventory of musical instruments that the Germans, the Nazis, had stored, stolen instruments, in Paris at 23 Rue de Bassano, where they kept a warehouse where instruments taken from across France and across Europe were sort of brought through as a clearinghouse. And this list is about 9 pages, and it lists specific instruments.
You attempted to trace one particular violin, try to find out the fate of one violin that apparently was stolen by the Nazis that had been built in 1742.
Yes, this is a very tantalizing item on the list of Nazi captured instruments. And it says 1742 Guarneri del Gesu. Well, this is a very manageable task because Guarneri del Gesu is known only to have made 13 of these instruments in that year, specifically labeled as such. By tracing records and books and the internet and all kinds of things that come to mind, we were able to account for 11 of the 13 1742 Guarneri del Gesu instruments and where they were during World War II, who owned them. Two of the instruments, however, are unaccounted for. It still is very difficult to say, yes, that is the stolen one, because so much documentation is missing, and also because the dealers who trade in these instruments do not want to discuss where they got the instruments, and in fact would not discuss with us where they obtained instruments.
What happened when you called the owners of those two violins with uncertain provenances?
They declined to acknowledge that they even had the instrument. We traced one of the instruments to a violin shop in New York, and many people have seen it there over the years. Some people have even played it, but the owners of the violin shop will not acknowledge ever having had the instrument. And without any cooperation from the violin dealers, there's no way the people who lost these million-dollar violins could make a case. And it's private information, and you can't get it.
It's the money, the million-dollar price tag, that I guess draws the attention of laymen. But for you, Howard Reich, as an arts critic, I'm wondering if there is something more about these violins and the way that they were stolen that makes this story important to you.
Absolutely. Money indeed makes the headlines, but the tragedy of it is actually quite apart from money. because to take someone's instrument seems in some ways worse than taking a work of art or a piece of jewelry, because those are things to be admired and revered. A musical instrument is the voice of the musician. Without a fiddle that a musician owns, he no longer sounds the same. In fact, one of the stories in our series points that many people, when losing an instrument, simply give up playing for months or for years. It's such a tragic thing that happens. And to take these instruments wholesale from so many Jews and other non-Aryans during the Holocaust is to wipe out a part of their identity. And that was specifically the goal, and sadly, that's exactly what was achieved.
Howard Reich is an arts critic and reporter for the Chicago Tribune, along with William Gaines. He recently completed a series on the violin trade, including an article about violins apparently stolen by Nazi Germany. Mr. Reich, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.